Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who always has something cooking in his mental. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday night eviction recap, BB23. It was Brent unanimously evicted from the Big Brother house. We'll talk about reactions and a brand new HOH here tonight as we head into the fourth week of BB23 with another great panel. Back with us to talk about it tonight, it's the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
No. What? How can this be?
I'm just trying to give you what we needed tonight. And Derek F. stole from us because he ruined The Blind Side. And I'm very upset about it, Rob.
Yep. Last night we were promised a bill of goods and came up a little flat tonight.
Very flat. Very, very unfortunately flat. I'm still upset about it. And, you know, it should have been an all-timer. We should have seen Brent look at Xavier and go, checkmate, bud. Right as he was evicted unanimously, but instead, we got nothing.
Yeah, not much. Okay. Yeah. As we saw tonight, Derek F can find all sorts of ways to screw things up again. Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah. Derek F, what did he I don't even know how to do it. What did he do?
Hello, Derek.
Hi, Julie.
Please cast your vote to evict.
I sadly to a vote Brent.
Yeah.
Derek F. voted our blind side.
He sadly voted our blind side off.
Did you hear Julie also like specifically pronounce?
I think I threw it off. He was in his head. All right. Great to have you back. Of course, taking a break from talking about Love Island, here is the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Surf's up. We even had the surfboard today for me. That was personal for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, I would like to avoid e-vote everyone who ruined this blind side for us. It could have been so much better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on the bright side, Brent is gone.
Yes.
Okay.
So. Happy days. Happy days. Brent is gone.
Yeah. Take the good. you know, be the good. All right. Kirsten, great to have you back here with us. And then joining us again tonight for another eviction, of course, taking a break from covering all things wrestling on the wrestling wrap up with Mari Forth. It's Matt Scott. Matt, how are you?
Oh, hi. I was expecting that, Rob. I wasn't surprised. I knew you were going to introduce me. I just saw it all coming. And in wrestling terms, for Brent, that's what we call a no sell. little disappointing, but we'll sell him. We're good. Get him off the sock watch.
Okay. All right. We're here to talk about it all. We'll take your questions. Taryn Armstrong and I will have an interview with Brent for you on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Taryn, I thought he was a little flat with Julie.
It was a very boring interview, Rob.
It went on so long. As Jenny Autumn tweeted last night about the competition, this competition could have been an email. They picked the wrong night to go all in on the interview segment.
Yeah, and Julie was, she kept asking him the same question in about like 15 different ways, and she kept getting the same answer, which was nothing. So she really needed to try something. This just was not working.
Yeah. Maybe this guy has a couple of cups of coffee before we talk to him. Hopefully we get some more pep in his step for when we have our exit interview with Brent. And then on Friday, also, don't miss, we will have the BB Q&A this week for the patrons. We'll be taking your questions about what is Christian going to do on his eviction, all of the machinations going on in the Big Brother house heading into Friday, what we assume to be the last week of the team's twist. So a lot coming your way. And of course, the live feed update at 11 a.m. With Taryn and Puya. All right. So I guess let's close out the Brent stuff, right? Let's close it out and then we'll double back. Because I think that there's a lot more intrigue to talk about when we get to the HOH. Matt, any thoughts on Brent's last stand?
Yeah, it was sad. You know, we were expecting a lot of turbulence. We were, you know, really wanted something to go down. I was picturing it being like an episode of Lost where it's just like planes flying, bam, you know, and everyone ends up on an island and no one knows what's going on. That's what I thought was going to happen. We didn't get that. And it was sad. But you know what? I think like the more that we take it in when we listen to his interview, you have to appreciate how much he knew was happening. Like he really felt like he understood what was happening to him. I have to say though, the part where he watched Hannah's goodbye message and you kind of see him wince a little bit, mm-hmm. dying on the inside. I had to think, yeah. You know, maybe that caught him off guard.
Because when Julie asked him about the Aces, he said, oh, well, Derek X was always against me. And Whitney, you know, her and I, personalities don't get along. But Hannah, you know, she just went with the numbers. It was really.
Yeah. You see, Julie, in this game, sometimes when the numbers are against you, you have to just kind of go along with it. So that's, I'm sure, what happened with Hannah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the
sweet,
way,
innocent Hannah.
Yeah, I just want to say this at the top of the show. We have another poll up on our Instagram tonight at RJP Grams. We want to know, were you happy with tonight's HOH results? And let's see what the audience has to say. We'll tell you later on in the show tonight. You can vote at RJP Grams during the podcast on Instagram. We got to see, a little bit of, Brent's campaign to try to stay. But can I even use the champagne campaign word correctly, Kirsten?
I don't think so, no. If you click on the hashtag champagne campaign, you will continue to see nothing that has to do with Brent Champagne. And I don't think he's going to get anything new for his like celeb love highlight on his Instagram either. Like, yeah. I don't think he's getting what he's looking for out of this experience.
You don't think any famous people are going to be tweeting about how they're so gutted to see Brent go?
I hope that they do so that I know who to block preemptively because I don't have room for that type of energy in my life. I'm trying to protect my peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, I did feel like that we got a lot of strategy segments tonight in the episode. Were you finally happy with how they treated the show tonight?
Rob, I feel like you're trying to put this on me like I'm wanting more than they're giving me and that maybe I should want less. Is that what I'm getting from you?
If you could just lower your expectations, Taryn.
I thought that, you know, we got a little bit of the Brent and then I felt like that we got a whole segment about, you know, who the house is looking to target in the upcoming weeks that I feel like that, you know, I'm not going in with high expectations, but I thought that this was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I liked it. We got caught up on sort of like the necessary bits here when it comes to, you know, who's being targeted and why, the setup of the aces and the kings and how, you know, Derek X is with the kings with the royal flush and that he's also now trying to protect the aces from the kings within the royal flush. And in order to do that, he's kind of now thinking he needs to take a shot at the kings. Love that for Derek X. Hearing from Tiffany as well that she's kind of on board with this idea. This is kind of outdated information, but it's good enough to kind of get us to where we are right now. And then we're also going to hear from the kings that they're looking at Hannah and Whitney, which is obviously particularly relevant given our HOH result. There's still a lot that is missing from these episodes, but we at least got some amount of information prior to the nomination episode about why the nominations might be the way they are.
I don't know. I kind of felt like it took the wind out of the sails for next week because we did get it very clearly stated that Whitney would be a target. Hannah would be a target. I would almost say don't at me, at Rob. But
No. They gave PineappleBoy 27 is my Twitter handle.
PineappleBoy 27. And you know, they gave us like a little bit too much where even casuals, like even the Facebook commenters who I like to argue with once in a while are probably feeling like, okay, we know what's going to happen this week. Well, we don't need to watch. I don't know why they sound like this, but that's Facebook for you.
That's what a Facebook person sounds like, obviously. I think the thing is I can kind of see both sides. It's nice to get a bit of the setup. However, with how fast everything has been moving and how like the game is is changing so much. I feel like it's honestly a mistake to give us too much of a preview of what's going to come, because it will be really hard for them to build a narrative in the edited show if right. things do change as they are wont to do in the Big Brother 23 house.
Yeah. I think that we should commend them for even like having a whole segment about the strategy coming up in the house.
All right,
like
we're,
this is a rare occasion.
The bar is so low that I can't even trip over it at this point.
Yeah, the bar is in hell.
The bar is on the floor, like where they got that camera angle of Brent from episode. Like up his nose tonight.
Yeah, we didn't need that one.
I just also came. Okay, I was like starting to feel a little bit bad for Brent just because he looked so sad and broken in his eyes. And then I remembered, you know, who he is, and I fixed that. But I can't take someone seriously who's going to wear the bandana and the aviators and their shirt unbuttoned down to their belly button. I was just like, who is this guy? I couldn't respect him. Sorry.
Yeah. He brought back the Big Brother 5 mandana.
Yes, exactly.
It was a throwback to Jace and Scott Long.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that was definitely a callback. He was giving a shout out to Jace.
He's such a historian of the game. He knows who that is.
Mm-hmm. Huge super fan.
Yeah. See, Kirsten, go see if he has any of pictures of their Instagram comments on his celeb sightings Instagram story.
There will definitely be a lot of pictures of him side by side with him with that mandana on. But other than that, I don't think he's ever heard of them.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess Brent, he didn't give us like really anything. Like, it's just such a lackluster speech tonight with his campaign. I would have liked to have seen. It's hard to root against somebody who's giving you just like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they just need to start casting people for the reaction when they're evicted. Like, if anything, that's what I was shocked by, that he didn't just fall apart or emote in any type of way. That was the tough part.
Yeah, it's called toxic masculinity, Matt.
But still, he's on Big Brother. Like, they're over the top in the DRs. Like, you can be over the top when you're meeting Julie, just for the cameras, just for us.
Matt, I felt like that Brent was giving you the, you know, it was just a game. I didn't care that much. I didn't really care that, you know, they want to get rid of me because I'm such a big threat, because I'm so good at this game, because I'm so awesome. But, you know, it really doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm just so much above this.
He's like, I was doing the same thing too. I was also blindsiding people.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you blindside, Brent? Yourself? Like, get out of here.
Yeah. Just didn't so care sad. Enough. So, yeah.
I mean, I think that he cared. I think that just like, he had time to slowly process it. Like, people don't usually come out guns blazing unless they really weren't expecting it. Like, most of the time, like, and the thing too is that like, if we did get fire from him, it would just be the same annoying, like, well, it's because I'm a straight shooter that they took me out. And, you know, all these people are going to regret it later. Like, I don't need to hear that either.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. I couldn't get over that he spent so long with Julie Chen Moonves. I mean, I feel like that the Travis interview was like, all right, two questions. All right, we'll see you when we see you. Even Frenchie was just a couple of questions. They did a whole segment with Brent. Kirsten, what was the plan here?
So I think that Julie was trying to get Brent to admit that he was shocked, that he was blindsided, that he did not have it coming. So she just kept asking him the same question, rephrased, hoping that she would get a different answer. Mm-hmm. But that's, again, Brent's actions match up to his words, okay? So he's always going to say the same thing. And so she just wasn't getting anything from it. And then was not able to pivot, change her questioning, move on to something else.
They were
else.
Both she, stuck in a loop. Yeah.
She was stuck. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I feel like all of the evicted house guests so far have all just spilled word salad, each and every one of them. And Brent was no exception.
I don't think anybody told Julie that he knew it was coming. Because she was like so shocked that he wouldn't tell her how shocked he was that she couldn't pivot and ask something different. And like the episode even opened on her being like, Brent couldn't be happier about the veto nop, and the shot was on Brent looking like he was the most miserable person in the house. Like you guys, did you not see that it was ruined?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Julia's episode only, Taryn.
I hope it's fine.
I think Julie watches the live feeds?
Yes.
No.
She's too busy putting on matching leggings and sweaters.
They didn't need to do that to Julie.
Who's they? You think they dress her?
I don't think she chose that for herself.
I thought she looks kind of like a flight attendant tonight.
That was perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, she was ready. She just was ready for the wrong thing.
You know what? That's what I'm going to wear next time I go on a plane for sure. A matching sweater and leggings.
It's very comfortable.
It looks great.
Julie Chen-Chi. Yeah.
On the bright side, Kirsten, Brittany did not rap.
I know. I was planning to come in and try to also rap like Jenny Autumn, but I didn't get very far. And then my brain is really bad today, so I couldn't think of anything.
You have so much cooking in your mental.
Yeah. I have so much cooking in my mental. But I didn't get anything, but it was going to be great. It was going to be iconic, but I couldn't think of anything. Yes. I was busy today.
Rob, to correct you, she did rap and she rapped enough. It was one line. And then she decided to go for like the Maya Angelou, Toni Morrison spoken word. And I don't know which I prefer, honestly. Actually, you know what? I prefer her rapping just because it's a lot funnier to see everyone else's reactions.
Yeah, I mean, she's like sort of like tried to sneak a rap in of it, like with a fake out, but then she still is going to like rhyme. Like it was rap adjacent, Taryn.
Yeah, well, remember last time we talked about this, I said that like it was basically that kind of like, I'm rapping, but I'm not that serious about it. I just kind of secretly am serious about it, but outwardly, it's ironic. So she's done that once now, and now she's at the like, so I've done it ironically once. If I do it again, now it seems like I'm doing it seriously. So if I still want to get in my mad rapping skills, I need to go one step below that, which is, oh, look at me starting to rap. No, just kidding. I'm not going to do that again because I'm not serious about it. It's just ironic. But let me do some rhymes for you.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's offensive to the genre of rap to associate her with it.
How dare you?
Yeah, and it's also just like last week, Julie really was curious about the rap. She was excited about the rap. She dived in. She asked Brittany what was going on. And Brittany, I think, admitted to like writing the rap on Sunday and then practicing it for the next four or however many math days. But this, I just wonder how long this one took her because it was something. I think, kind of lost and not paying attention to what she was saying at this point.
Writing a bad rap is not easy. Okay. Mm-hmm. It actually probably takes more skill than writing something good to be bad on purpose.
Yeah. Just to sort of look back in hindsight, I think she nailed the execution. I feel like that she could have taken like another day or two on the writing and then because I feel like that she's nailing it. I think that maybe just like maybe do a draft and then like put it
of criticism from people who have not done any rapping on this podcast.
Where's your rap, Taryn?
I'm not criticizing nothing. Okay. I've got too much mental going on in my
kitchen.
Perceived body.
Yeah.
I just think that, I would never touch, the brilliance that is Brittany and her rapping. But you guys talking a big game with no rap.
So what you're saying is we should all do a quick rap, right?
That's not happening on this podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not.
We mentioned.
That's why I love you, Matt.
brought up Derek F already, but it bears replaying.
Hello, Derek.
Hi, Julie.
Please cast your vote to evict.
I sadly to evoke Brent.
I sadly to evoke.
Yeah. Okay.
He did something similar last week.
Yes.
Too.
Okay. Yeah. But this. Okay. Tonight he sadly to evoke Brent.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Derek.
Hi, Julie.
Please cast your vote to evict.
I sadly to evict Brittany.
Yeah. Last week, he sadly to evict Brittany.
Yeah,
tonight,
language is
he was
evolving,
sadly to
Rob.
Evoke.
Over the course of 2 weeks, he has managed to vote to evict. If you take apart the words that he has now said the complete sentence, you need to remove some of the extras. Yeah.
Again, language grows and changes over time. Yes. It evolves. It is a beautiful, rich tapestry. And he's just obviously ahead of us. He's on the next level. One day we can aspire to have such a handle on the English language. Okay.
Yeah,
we're not there yet.
Yeah. So Rob, Britney has great raps. Everything's perfect about that. But we have problems with Derek and him choosing different words. He just, it's a choice. I hope it's a choice.
It's for style points, baby.
Yeah. Next week, he is going to and I'm not sure where we take it from here. Is it like, we got to hope he's not on the block so he gets to vote.
I mean, I'm curious to know how his speech would go.
Yeah.
Okay. Please don't avoid me.
All right.
Wait, what?
Avoid? Is that what you said? Avoid him?
Yeah. Don't avoid him. Yeah.
Wait. Do you not want us to vote for? Wait. What are you saying, Derek?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't actually know how voting works, so I don't know what to ask for from you.
Yeah. I just get the sense that went over it with him like 15 times. Like, all right, remember, I sadly vote to, like, I got it. I sadly vote for Brent. So.
What was it that Dina Lohan said again? I vict to evote?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's working towards that.
Okay,
don't
we'll get
bring
there.
Dina into this. Don't need to bring up Dina Lohan in 2021.
I mean, she only got brought up last week. I can bring her back up.
He's just abbreviating. He just took out the vict.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about Julie's interview with Brent. I think that the big takeaway will definitely be that he was just such a big threat, and it was a good move to get rid of him. You know why?
Like I said, it's best to get me out because I had a lot of things cooking in my mental. So
yeah, so many things, Matt. So many things cooking in the mental.
Yeah,
that I feel that way a lot. Just a lot of cooking and stirring and pots.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, the spices. Oh, lots of spices. Maybe some hot sauce, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very lost because now I'm thinking, like, there was obviously the conversation between Whitney and Brent that where Whitney tried to convince Brent that he wasn't playing a good game and he didn't believe it. But now I'm confused. Like, was it the right choice to get rid of him? Was it the wrong choice? I don't know who to believe. And I'm as lost as Brent is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many things cooking.
Yeah.
You know, when your body perceives your highly intelligence,
mm-hmm.
things are cooking in your mental.
Yeah.
But I have a question though, because he said that if he had stayed this week, he would have blown things up, that he was going to really cause some problems. Now, what do you think that looks like from Brent Champagne?
Well, in his mind, he was on the precipice of controlling the entire house.
Yeah.
And so I think that while he got a heads up that he was not going to stay, he did not realize that, that was all a fantasy. I think he feels like I was so close, like I was about to grasp it. And then something went wrong. I don't know how, but it just was taken away at the last second. When in reality, you know, he was sitting in a box by himself.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're not going to get all of those airline puns, like the safety sign is off and I'm coming for everyone.
This is your captain speaking. We're going to need you to put your seatbelt on. We've definitely hit a bit of turbulence here. This is a bit of a rough patch. This plane is going down, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very sorry to say.
No pretzels or peanuts for you guys. I'm serious about this one.
Do they still have peanuts on planes?
I'm allergic.
No. Yeah, it was like people are very allergic to peanuts. I feel like you can't have them anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And allergic to Brett. So.
Oh,
fits.
Sure, y'all also can't have him anywhere.
Okay, all right. So that's anything else on Brent Champagne tonight?
I think there's been plenty.
There's plenty. Okay. All right. So, again, we will have our Brent interview coming for you on Friday. I'm very curious to know about how this HOH competition, which took place in teams. First, Taryn, did you like this?
I loved the concept of this competition. I thought it was really cool. It was a weirdly like laid out competition. They played in teams, and the winner of the HOH competition is the person who places the last piece. I love that they're forced to cycle through their team. It was I really liked a lot of how this competition worked. Hated the execution of it.
From production or from the players?
From production. Just the fact that the competition ended while we were watching the aces, we're watching Derek X put pieces on, and all of a sudden there's a ding, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you left down. We went to the to fish.
We were
watching a team
Derek
losing.
Derek X.
Then finally we see the Kings celebrate. Okay, the Kings, but which one of the Kings? We're waiting. Congratulations, Christian. Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, in fairness, there's a very good explanation. Big Brother brought back Frenchie to direct tonight's episode. So that was the issue there.
Are you bored yet?
The artistic genius. The metaphor of the big
meathead
fish.
Was about to win. Cut away from that. Oh, we don't want
to
see it.
Cut to the fish to say, look, what did I tell you? The big fish has now won the HOH.
Yes.
They were telling us who won the HOH.
Wow.
We just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not highly intelligent enough for their artistic level.
Yeah.
This is way over our heads, but we have to really thank old Green Thumbs for that one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
Kirsten, what do you think that in terms of like when this was a week when they talked all about who was going to get the HOH, did you like that they gave them a competition which actually allowed them to sort of like arrange who on their team ended up getting the HOH?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept. I liked that it's a little different than another team competition would be. It was very strange. I feel like almost everyone is throwing this competition. Because I can't believe in my heart that they're that bad at a puzzle.
I thought they might need to go to commercial.
I cannot perceive it.
Yeah. It was going on for a while.
Your body?
I cannot perceive with my body how bad they were at puzzles if they were not throwing it.
Yes.
Most of them were trying. The Queens, I think, were the only team that were actually throwing.
Now, I saw Azza put a piece on fully backwards with the curve towards the inside. That can't possibly be
how
she
really
was right.
Too. She really wanted to win.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think it was Sam Stanish tweeted out, this is like 13 Caitlyn's at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, also just like the second Christian was, I mean, Christian just wrecked this puzzle. Like he got so far so fast, and then Alyssa gave it a shot, got nowhere. In fact, made it worse by putting a wrong piece on. Then Sarah Beth made no progress. Then Christian made more progress. Then Alyssa made no progress again. Then Sarah Beth finally came in with some pieces, and then Christian finished it off. I was genuinely just like, just tap the buzzer. Just run out, run right back, tap the buzzer. Let Christian do this because he's the only one actually making progress.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sarah Beth was throwing it.
I mean, she made a lot. She ended up making a lot of progress, and she definitely wanted her teammates to win. She didn't want to win herself, but she definitely wanted either Alyssa or Christian to win. So,
And it also, I don't know if this is where this is just a confusing comp to watch because I thought the Jokers were going to take the win. It looked like they were close, and I mean, that would have been a trip. But how could the Kings not win here? Like, Hannah was hesitant about winning and being HOH. Derek X was. The Queens were. So you didn't have a lot of people who were really going for it that weren't Kings. Because, like, half the people who were going for it were Kings.
So most recently, the Aces had decided that they did want to go for it. Whitney was probably the person that was least – willing to go for it. Obviously, Derek X didn't want to take it himself, but Derek X, I believe, definitely would have been trying here. Hannah definitely would have been trying. That happened recently. Whitney, we can't be sure because we don't know exactly where her head is at. But I definitely think that Derek X was probably trying to do his best in order to give it to somebody else. Hannah was probably trying her best, and maybe only Whitney was lagging. Even then, I think Whitney would have loved to give it to Derek X or Hannah. So I think she was probably trying as well. The Jokers did have a base down, but I'm pretty sure that it was wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. I was trying to see if the pattern matched, because then they really were struggling with the other pieces that were there. I was like, oh, the Jokers HOH, that's going to be actually very interesting. But then ultimately they just flamed out.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
So yes, it was really a race between the aces and the kings, as it was always going to be. And it did seem like Derek X was getting really close. I'm sure he would have loved to tap out and give it to whoever came next. And I think they would have taken it. But, Christian came in.
I don't know who said this, but during this competition, you could hear a male voice saying, "Flip it like a shoe." And I don't know what that means.
The ghost of Big Jeff?
Oh, of course, naturally.
You know,
I actually like my existing relationship with clown shoes.
Yeah, flip like a shoe. That's smart. That's smart. Who flipped? Who flipped the shoe? Maybe it was Fessy. So, all right, a Christian HOH here. So interesting. So the kings end up safe. That's Christian, Alyssa, Xavier, and Sarah Beth. Taryn, based on what you know at this hour, what was the plan if Christian became the HOH?
So there's a little bit of intrigue here, because this morning, after his talk with Hannah the night before, Christian had approached Alyssa and said, "Hey, maybe we shouldn't put Hannah on the block. Maybe we shouldn't target Hannah." And Alyssa fought pretty hard against this idea. She said that they should put Hannah on the block. And it seemed like Christian was pretty hesitant about it. Like, "Hey, if I win, maybe I don't do it." But by the time they talked to Tiffany about it, and Tiffany was very against the idea of putting Hannah on the block, they were a united front arguing for putting Hannah on the block. But there's definitely the idea, the seed in his head, that perhaps he doesn't want to do this because he thinks that Hannah trusts him a lot. And that, it might ruin that relationship unnecessarily. And maybe Whitney is a better target. And so maybe they should use somebody else or do something else. But either way, there is the idea in his head that maybe he wouldn't do that. Obviously, Xavier, Tiffany, Kyland, they definitely don't want this to happen. So there's going to be a lot of pushback to the idea, but Sarah Beth really does want it to happen. And Xavier already gave some really compelling arguments for why the Jokers shouldn't touch the block. So I would expect Hannah and Whitney nominations, but I can't guarantee them by any means. And to add to the complications here, there's the wild card competition, which Whitney will be playing in. She is the only person eligible left on her team. So she has a 1-in-3 shot at winning safety, potentially. She may turn it down, depending on what she thinks she has. And then if that happens, chaos reigns, right? It could be, it very likely would be, okay, then we're still targeting Hannah, but let's put up Azza or Big D as a pawn next to Hannah in order to target Hannah, which would obviously be disastrous for the cookout, because that's two cookout members next to each other, which is exactly why I told Xavier in my head when I was watching him on the feeds, stop trying to convince them to put up Hannah. There's a lot of different ways this can happen this week. There's going to be a lot of different conflicting interests happening. Most likely outcome, Hannah and Whitney on the block with Whitney going home, but there's a lot of potential complications to the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I just can't stop thinking about the my mental is going it's on cooked. And on.
There's a lot Christian, cooking.
Christian and Alyssa are going to be up in the HOH room a lot this week, and I just don't want to see it. And I don't look.
It's all right. They're like siblings. Don't worry about it.
It's a lot.
No, that makes it worse.
Taryn, really?
Don't look at me. Don't say that. That's what they're saying, all right?
I know. It's so it is so weird. It is definitely something people say. Like when someone is like wheeling with someone and people are like, "Ooh, what's going on?" It's like, "Oh, no, I just love him like a brother." No, you don't. Stop it. Don't say it. Don't
Maybe
say.
Trying to tell you something. I don't.
Don't
know.
Say you love anyone like a brother who is not your brother. I don't even care. Just to be safe.
Yeah, I don't think we need to hear that again.
Never.
Well, I love Taryn and Matt like a brother.
Well, yeah, I think everyone here can safely say that we love each other like brothers.
That's right.
Don't definitely. Tell me what you I can't
safely say.
Say
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, the Christian and Alyssa thing, could definitely escalate this week. Kirsten, that could, with what, 1 week left before jury, paint a really big target on both of their backs too, right?
I mean, in theory, yes, but we've seen a lot in recent years how beneficial a showmance is and how far they go into the game, typically. So, mm-hmm.
And they already had a target on their back, so.
Well, yeah. They actually walked into the house with a target on their back because they're so
they
physical.
They were the big fish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big fish in the bait.
Yeah.
Yes. The perceived the physical. Bait. We love it.
Yeah.
Perceived.
So then how is the wildcard competition going to go? We're assuming it's it has to be Whitney for the aces.
It also has to be Claire.
Claire. Okay.
And then either Azza or Big D for the Jokers.
Mm.
Okay. So we want Claire to win.
Well, mm-hmm. What's interesting is that it might be in Claire's best interest to throw this to Whitney because Whitney being safe would, as I mentioned, cause some chaos that Claire could potentially take advantage of, given that she is kind of locked outside of a big alliance.
Yeah, but I'm talking about my best interest.
Your best interest. Yeah. I mean, Chaos Claire would be nice to see because she has had, at least in the edit, like a sleepier edit. So who knows? Maybe we will get something like that. But I'm curious, like, I just kind of imagine Big D is going to be the one competing because I don't see Azza putting up so a big fight for that spot, and Big D wants to compete. He's apparently a comp beast.
Yeah, it's in his blood.
He's told us. Yes. Yeah, it is.
Okay. So
boxing pun.
Yeah, we'll see that play out on
Rocky music.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see it play out on Friday on the feeds.
Yeah,
and then
the
Sunday
wild
the
card
episode.
Will be running up steps.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on Christian and him being the HOH?
I mean, this guy is ridiculous in competitions. He's won almost everything he's competed in. And he basically carried this entire puzzle. Sarah Beth did contribute a few pieces there. But he by himself did probably 3/4 of the whole thing. While his teammates actively made it harder. He's done so well in these competitions. He is somebody that you really need to watch out for, in this game. I think that people see him as a competition threat, but maybe now they'll finally start to see that he is a really, really big competition threat. But the fact that he hasn't been a main target for a while is pretty strange to me because he is just really wrecking these things.
He's under a blanket. They can't see him, Taryn. Yeah. They can't perceive him, so they can't target him.
They can't perceive his body.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. You know, we didn't talk about the goodbye messages for Brent. And he got a couple of good ones from the house guests. Some people were pretty kind to him. Others were, you know, a little harder on Brent. Hannah had a message for Brent. Here's what she had to say to Brent.
Oh, Brent. The number two rule in Big Brother is if you feel too comfortable or safe, that's usually a good indication that you're going home. But unfortunately, your arrogance didn't allow you to see that.
That's the number two rule. Matt, what's the number one rule?
Ask Jacob Jones.
Yeah, probably that's it. Ask
I don't
Jacob
want to
Jones.
Ask Jacob Jones.
He
about
knows
number
about
one.
Number one.
That's in the Big Brother pool.
Yeah, he's Jacob's there right now. No, I don't know.
Expect the unexpected. Is that the number one rule?
Is there a rule maybe. Book?
Do you think that maybe Taryn...
Yeah, get Chrissy to check the rule book.
Yeah, her, like, she, that like, Brent, rule number one in the Big Brother house was blah, blah, blah. Rule number two is, don't, when you're safe, don't go around, and there's probably something going on. Rule number three, like, maybe she just had, like, gave, like, the whole, like, BR rules.
Yeah, haven't you ever watched Zombieland? Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah. The first rule of the Big Brother house, there is no Big Brother house.
Oh, is that the first rule of Zombieland?
I mean, it's really just a soundstage. So.
This is a mess. This is a mess. And Brent's mental, like, really messed with my mental. And now this, I don't know how we're podcasting about any of this right now. This is ridiculous. How does she just jump to number two? They could have maybe cut that part out. Something.
Like, she could have just said a big rule.
All right.
Big Brother. Like, why did it have to be the number two rule?
Yeah, I had mixed feelings on this goodbye message. I love this. I love the just like she just went full force. She could have gone harder on Brent, but she really made it clear that she was very pleased to see him go. I appreciated that. And you know, love I'm doing the airplane. Yeah. I'm doing the movements. My problem was that Tiffany also did that. You got to coordinate better. You can't do the same joke twice in one goodbye message montage. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the third thing I had mixed feelings on was the fact that she said, the number two rule in Big Brother is if you feel too comfortable, you're going home, which is what I've been yelling at Hannah through the screen about all week long, as she was very comfortable throwing this HOH when she is a primary target for the person who just won. And it took way too long for her to finally decide that she was going to play for it.
Taryn, this is the second time tonight you've said that you are yelling at the house guests this season. I feel like I don't hear you normally talk about how you yell at the screen during the season.
Well, he's new to the state. He's within range of the megaphone now. He couldn't before.
You're like a wall yeller.
I mean, Rob, I yell at my screen on a five times a day basis.
Oh,
no. On podcasts.
Yes, that's true.
With the goodbye messages, why did every man who left a goodbye message was a coward? Like, why were they all so nice to him? Why?
And why did we have to see any of it? Just give us Hannah. Just extend the Hannah message. You know, have her go into all the things, how uncomfortable he made her. Like, just give her the time. Give Hannah the time. She deserves it. It was odd that we did get that message from Derek X that he was a target. We don't need Brent feeling like he was justified in thinking that he's the one who should have gone out. Like, he knows that already.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, that he feels that way.
He feels that way.
Also,
already.
Like this whole thing that Brent had about like, well, it's not surprising coming from Derek X after he betrayed me in week one.
Yeah,
I was immediately brought. I was like, this guy.
Yeah, I mean, what was he even talking about? He's like,
you know, they gave him three allies to start the game, and then this guy is going out and trying to make other allies that aren't even on his team. I don't even understand. What an idiot
plotting against me.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Was lost.
Yeah,
it's very obvious. The number one rule of Big Brother is when you go into the house and they put you on a team, you have to ride or die with that team, and you're not allowed to look elsewhere for allies. Come on, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
because they always have the teams, of course.
It's a crucial part of Big Brother, the teams.
Yeah. It shows a crucial, amongst many, lack of understanding that Brent has when it comes to the relationships that he builds, that he sees Derek X as the person who is most likely to betray him, when consistently Derek X has been the person probably most loyal to him in the game, bar none, other than perhaps Frenchie. But we saw how that went as well. So, you know, it's he's certainly on the team, was the person who is most loyal to Brent, and put up with Brent quite a bit. Not that, you know, I mean, everybody did. But, you know, it's just very telling that he's the person that he most suspected as the betrayer.
Well, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like Brent was really looking for people to single out, even though he was voted out unanimously. Like, I think maybe he didn't grasp that and wrap his head around that, but, you know, he was calling out Kylan a little bit too. It's like, sir, they all voted you out. Nobody really wanted you there.
Not one
I'm
person.
Sorry.
No, they all just went with the numbers.
Well, of course. Well, that, I mean, you know, the numbers are there, so of course you're just going to go with the numbers. Like,
Rob, how this game works is that you got some numbers, and when the numbers are there, you got to go with those numbers. So, just to educate you a little bit from my mental, to help you understand.
Yeah, well, I'm not a flight attendant or an accountant.
At this point, I shouldn't even be a flight attendant. I should become an accountant because I'm absolutely crushing these numbers.
Yeah,
I feel like it was a missed opportunity last night to talk about how Brent probably could be a TikTok accountant. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Yes, a TikTok accountant. How does that work, Kirsten?
Please don't.
It starts with a little website called OnlyFans. Oh. Accountant means something else in the TikTok street.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that because there's a lot of Big Brother accountants. I had no idea.
Because there's like an audio that's like, It didn't. They're like, oh yeah. If anyone asks me about what my job is, I just tell them I'm an accountant. Nobody asks you questions when you say you're an accountant. And it's from like a struggling actor, but then a bunch of accountants started using it. It's like, what do you do? I'm an accountant. Where do you work? In a place where accountants work. Like that's. No one asks you questions.
Yeah, Brent Champagne is a great name for an accountant, by the way.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great name for any job, really.
Yeah, well, but, and then eventually, like if you want to be a VIP, you go to the champagne room of the accountant place.
Yeah, for a private.
Rob, I think you're choosing. I think it's the Brent room. You're choosing the wrong name.
Yeah, I don't know what I was cooking in my mental there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else about this night of Big Brother? I feel like the stage is set for. An interesting week, but we didn't get a ton to from this episode.
Yeah, you know, but maybe I'm hoping for too much when I'm looking for things in the episode. But we could have gotten more. I think the thing to look for here, first of all, if you're not keeping up with the feeds, I need to continue to make it clear here that you are missing out. So dramatically on this season, there is so much going on. Daily there is weeks of gameplay happening. So many things have changed and shifted, and the reason why these targets are emerging are not coming anywhere near the show. But I think the thing to look out for here, if you are paying attention to the feeds, or if you're looking for like how are things going to play out from here, we are likely going to see. A discussion between Alyssa and Christian on should we do Hannah? We are going to see many members of the cookout, at least the ones involved in Royal Flush, push Alyssa and Christian obviously primarily, to avoid nominating Hannah and probably try to push it onto Brittany. That's going to be their ideal scenario. Probably get some pushback from Christian particularly, who recently said to Brittany that he may want to make a final two with her soon. Very unlikely that he would budge on that unless he's just going to straight up target her. There's really no reason to put her on the block as a pawn. They're going to have to try and figure something out there. They're going to really make sure that they want Whitney as the target. We're going to see Whitney probably talk with them. They're probably going to want to try and convince Whitney that that she's completely safe because they know she's playing in the wild card and they don't want to have to nominate anybody but her. And so they're probably going to be promising her you're totally good because in the event that she wins, they're going to want her to turn the safety down, at which point they would, I assume, nominate her, although by then they may feel so bad about having convinced her to turn it down that they may not. There's a lot that can happen there, then with the veto and all of that. Like there's a lot to look out for here, even though we are looking at what is potentially a somewhat straightforward week. There's a lot of maneuvering that's going to be happening here in the next
If this sounds overwhelming to people, if you're not as up on the live feeds and you're like, that's a lot. I don't know what to do with this. This season, the live feed updates, it's like a bus. Like, you miss a day or two of feeds, the next one is coming, and you can just start from there and just pretend that what came before didn't happen because it's changing so fast. Just move on. Just move forward. Yeah. Don't look back. You can like still get on the bus. There's lots of seats available.
Yeah, I mean, what I try to do with the live feed updates is give you a sort of summary of where we're at and why before going into what's going on. So absolutely, I think more than really any other season, perhaps besides Big Brother Canada 6, make sure you're at least tuning into the live feed updates.
All right, we'll be right back with more of Thursday night's Big Brother 23 recap. But first, I want to thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. It's our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we are hopefully coming to the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, or maybe if you're not seeing the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, you know, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. You may not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you're feeling a little bit off or your relationships are suffering, this could be a sign that you need to talk to somebody. Whether you're feeling anxious, or if you're struggling in your career, if you're having trouble sleeping, online therapy can help. Visit BetterHelp.com/RHAP and fill out a questionnaire to help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. And BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. And online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy. Our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's Better, HELP.com/RHAP. And we'll be right back in 30 seconds. Once we thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Now, Kirsten, we've had two very disciplined HOHs in a row following Frenchie getting the season started in Kylan and Xavier. How do you think Christian is going to run his HOH? Do you think it's going to be sort of sloppy? Do you think that it's really just going to be other people running the HOH for him and just telling him what to do?
So on a scale from Frenchie to Kylan and Xavier, where is Christian? I mean, in my heart, I'm hoping he's closer to a Frenchie because I want the chaos.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what we want. But I think it's just going to be this is the part I'm disappointed about with one of the Kings. Well, with the Kings winning and with Christian being HOH, just because I feel like it might be a little flat. I don't see how things will be shaken up. But who knows? Like, if we don't see Whitney or Hannah leaving, or if we don't see both of them on the block this time, well, this time minus about an hour and a half next week, like, you know, that would be nice, but I don't really know what to think because Christian's such a solid player. Like, we're not going to have Frenchie 2.0.
No, I don't have as much faith in him to run his HOH as smoothly as a Calendar and Xavier. I just don't think he's quite there. I think he'll be fine. I think he's replacement level.
Taryn, you have any thoughts on how the Christian HOH might run?
I mean, I think that Xavier was sort of like a shadow of the structure that that Kylan's was. I don't expect Christian to try and follow the same structure. You know, by the end of Xavier's run, it was like, yeah, we can have one-on-one meetings on a voluntary basis. So it basically was just people coming up and talking. Yeah. I think that Christian will likely talk to people. Will Alyssa be there for those conversations? It depends on if Alyssa is smart enough to not be there for those conversations.
Right.
I expect it to be much messier, especially because, again, there are a lot of different agendas that are going to want to, that people are going to want to push onto Christian. A lot of people think that they can manipulate Christian and that they have a lot of sway over his decisions. So I expect that people will be pushing pretty hard on him here.
Okay. Also, Julie told us next Thursday night, we are going to have an endurance comp that is going to play out on the feeds. Taryn, Am I correct in interpreting that that will also mark the end of the teams?
I'm very convinced. Yes.
I think Mike Bloom confirmed that on Twitter today too.
Whoa. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike Bloom for breaking the story.
Boom. No more teams, I would expect. No more wild card competition. We will see the endurance play out on the Sunday night episode, which I think is a good thing because overall, I think it'll take up less time and they tend to talk strategy during the competition, which I appreciate. They also tend to use that time to do some flashbacks and show some, extra stuff. So I'm expecting that Sunday episode to hopefully be good as long as, we don't get a really bad result. It should be a lot of fun that we're going to see it on the feeds. I feel like last season was kind of spotty whether or not we saw some of these endurance competitions on the feeds. So the fact that they said we would means hopefully we will.
Okay. All right.
Just leave them now.
Coming up next Thursday night. All right. Let's check the results of our poll from tonight. Were you happy with tonight's HOH results? I know we have the census coming up on RENAP very soon. Kirsten, what do you think the audience said?
I am going to say...
What percentage said that, yes, they were happy with tonight's HOH results?
I'm going to set the over-under at 15%.
15%. Wow. Okay. Let's take a look. The answer there is 27% of people were happy with tonight's HOH results from the very scientific poll at RHAP Grams on Instagram. 73% said no. No, they were not happy with the HOH results. Why? Who would the audience have preferred?
Well, I can tell you that from the poll that I conducted for the roundtable, the top pick was Hannah, followed by Whitney, followed by Derek X. So basically the entirety, any of the aces.
Any of the aces. Okay.
Would have been preferable.
All right. Okay. I guess let's take a couple of questions here from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. Of course, you can email us or use the Google form at robasawebsite.com/bbquestions. Josh says, what do you cook in your mental? Boring chicken? Hey-o. I don't like to talk about food, Josh.
Podcast?
I don't like to talk about food. This is not a food podcast, okay?
Josh is attacking you here.
Yeah. What about what you cook in your mental? All right.
Yeah, it's pretty empty. That's typically how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mental does not have a lot left in there at the end of today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Question from Sarah. Who will be in the most trouble when the team's twist ends? Any candidates for big trouble for the team twist ending?
I mean, given that it's next week, I think Alyssa and Christian are in the most trouble, period. And not to mention the fact that I think that Xavier is probably not willing to be the person to take the shot at them if he doesn't have to be, but certainly is not going to be protecting them as much as he already isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, four kings. Also, I think that the house is out of balance until at least one king goes home.
Right.
I think that people are going to be just constantly looking at there's four kings still in the game. There's four kings.
It could also be bad for Sarah Beth as, people may not see her as protected as she once was, and they may see her as an easy pawn.
Paul wants to know, should the guys consider targeting Tiffany? Which guys?
Nope. Leave Tiffany alone.
Yeah,
I can only speak for myself, but I should say absolutely not. No one should even consider perceiving that. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course they should consider targeting Tiffany. They should consider targeting the queens in general.
Mm-hmm. Darren, take it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do a notes app apology. This is it's time for that.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay.
Seriously, did you see? She could be a flight attendant from the way that she did the little.
She could do anything. Tiffany could do anything she
anything
put her
she
mind
wants.
To. She's allowed.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, she
fine.
Can, they can target her and she can get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany can do anything. I think that she has gotten into the house. I think is starting to realize, oh my God, I have absolute power. Taryn, I heard some of her plans on the live feed update. These are very elaborate plans for week three.
Yes.
Do you feel like that she's in danger of overplaying?
No.
No.
Okay. I literally just an hour ago went on a rant about this. But I do not think that overplaying is a concept that needs to exist. I think that there's playing. There's no such thing as playing too much. There's only playing poorly, essentially. Mm-hmm. And while she, basically, I think that she should be thinking and playing the game more, that she needs to be thinking more about the feelings of the people that she's interacting with. She needs to be thinking more about, the different dynamics between these people and how things will play out. She's overthinking in the sense that she's underthinking some simple concepts of what might happen in her plan for the long term. So I think that she needs to take a breath and think more on her plan, instead of, making the decision to immediately go out and start trying to enact it.
Yeah.
She needs to figure it out some more.
Because look,
she could keep some of it in her head. Yeah, some of the plan could stay there.
This is coming from someone I drafted Tiffany. Okay. So nobody's more invested in Tiffany than me. That being said, I'm hearing some of these things. I'm like, boy, I wish she was thinking more about what's happening on day 22 as opposed to day 72.
And I hear that, but at the same time, I don't think it's a problem of looking too far ahead. I think it's a problem of the fact that she keeps changing her mind more so than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that she, the night before had just gone on about how Kyland is the danger. He's the one who knocks. And then the following morning she was like, actually, I want to go to the end with Kyland again. And so she changed it up entirely and she gave a whole new plan. And instead of, sticking with, formulating the original one, she's now formulating a new one. When we look at players like Vanessa or like Cody, all of these players that had a lot of long-term success did a lot of long-term planning and a lot of action, especially in these early weeks. That's never going to be something that I criticize. But I think that she does need to be careful about the plans that she's making because, I do think that this cookout plan is a very interesting one. It's one that definitely can work, but as I said, I think that she's not thinking it all the way through, and that she needs to be a little bit more careful about, how she thinks she's going to make this work.
I think with Tiffany, I get the vibe that she's the kind of person who wants to think about how she can solve problems before they are a problem. And she does it so proactively that she doesn't let things develop even a little bit. I think you need to kind of let things cook a tiny bit more
mentally, before
you can go into, okay, I'm going to solve this problem and not worry about it anymore. Right. That's kind of the sense that I get. I think that it's just like, she's like, okay, well, I've thought this out to its logical conclusion. So now I can go based off of that versus, okay, but this is what's happening right now. And there are a lot of people involved. So it might not actually go out to what you see as the logical conclusion in your head. That's the only kind of concern that I would have.
Yeah. And I think she's such a bold player, but all it really takes for her, I think, is one, feeling too comfortable with the way that she's playing and not with the social side of things, the emotional side of things. And then the other aspect of it, I think, with her is just like boldly making the wrong move. And that could happen with her. Like at some, she can't, Rob, I'm sorry, but I don't think she's going to hold up for you at some point.
Matt, take it back.
This will fall apart.
Matt.
I'm saying it's put it out there. I want to be wrong. I'm usually wrong on the Wrestling Wrap Up about everything I say. So let's hope I'm wrong here too.
I'm waiting for your notes app apology, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, here's the thing that maybe things won't go according to her plan, but you hope that she's good enough to be able to figure out then how to pick up the pieces and put it back together. So come up with a different way to go.
I mean, it's worth noting that Tiffany has been so good and has been playing so well and so hard that she is in the position that she has two completely separate paths to the end. And we're talking about Is it a problem that she's choosing one over the other? Which one is better for her? And the thing is, you're right. If one of them fails, she does have the other as a backup. Either way she goes. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a result of how hard she's been playing. So that's why I think, you know, the amount of playing she's done has been good. But there are some things, some sloppiness here and there that I'm concerned about.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more question. Julie's Air Hug says, as a fan of the show, if you were on Big Brother, would you want to someone to warn you of a blindside before eviction, or would you rather be truly blindsided?
I would want to be warned, yeah. Just
ask
so I could
Jordan
just so I could practice my reaction. Like, the shock.
As the only person on the panel, I guess, who's been truly blindsided on the show.
Yeah.
Hey,
would you say you were blindsided? You were felt 50-50?
No, I knew I wasn't making it in.
Yeah, how did you know?
I wasn't going to say anything.
I just got like this, the minute I stepped out, I got a weird vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
My face was sad the whole time. Yeah.
So
they opened the episode on Kirsten is extremely happy about her current situation.
Yeah. She's ready. She's been sitting in a minivan for 8 hours and she's ready to go.
Yeah. So as someone who's gotten a blind side, I'd rather know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like at least then you could
easily
have a chance to say something, like even if it's futile.
Yeah, because at least you can try. You can try to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I would like for my final episode on the show to be like Mitch Moffitt, like going out with nothing left in the tank, rather than look at that idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pour some out for Mitch Moffitt.
Yeah. Taryn, are you saying that that's what it was like for me?
Ah! Probably. You didn't have to go there. I mean, you said it, not me.
Well, first, Jason Curtis Rivera.
Maybe you don't love Taryn like a brother.
No. Brothers fight. It's more of a father son relationship.
As a young man watching Survivor All Stars and Amazon, mm-hmm. I was so sad both
keep going,
times.
Taryn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. All right. So anything else from Big Brother 23 tonight? All right, well, let's talk about what's coming up. A lot to come here this weekend. Of course, tomorrow morning, be sure to join Taryn and Puya live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for all the latest happenings from overnight at the Big Brother house. Check that out. Then later on Friday, we'll be live with the BBQ&A. That's the patron-only show that Taryn and I do, where we take calls live from the patrons. You call in. We do video calls. You call in, ask questions. We talk about what's going on. Taryn talks about the latest goings-on in the game. Sometimes we get into some deeper strategy conversations there. You can join us live. It's also available after the fact in our patron podcast feed, robinswebsite.com/patron. And if you're thinking about signing up and don't want to, maybe tomorrow doesn't work, August 1st, best time to start Patreon on a new month. This Monday, I'll be live on the slop for the patrons. Chappelle will join us and we'll get extra sloppy. If you see slop happening anywhere, robinswebsite.com/getsloppy. That's going to be a Monday night live with Chappelle for the patrons. Tuesday night, we set the all-time record. Kirsten McInnes says that six-hour podcasts are against her religion. Well, for if anyone else is podcast agnostic and wants to check it out, it's available. Go to robinswebsite.com to check out a lovely podcast with Christian
Uvicki.
I'm sure
it's great. I don't have anything against it, except I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. I know some people, and I got that from some people, like, oh my God, what are you trying to do to me? Like, look, that It lasts forever. We're doing the top 40 countdown once. Listen to it next year for all I care.
It's just, I do think it's an interesting choice. You did break some podcasts up into two podcasts.
One time we did that. And people didn't love it. Well, we are planning on, we're going to create a page on the website that has all of the top 40 podcasts so that you can go back anytime and listen to them. So if you're not keeping up with us in the real time, I know there's a lot going on with Big Brother. So no pressure to anybody. Matt, the Wrestling Wrap Up is back. What's good? John Cena's around?
Yeah, John Cena, totally on. John Cena was not on the podcast. John Cena's back around.
No, who needs John Cena when you got Chappelle and Jacob Jones?
The answer is nobody. And you know what? We had a very fun episode. Jacob did a lot of voguing on the episode.
Voguing?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, that's what wrestling's all about. Voguing, yes. Costumes. We talked about shoes. All the wrestling things for all the wrestling fans out there and the non-wrestling fans too.
By the way, check out Matt and Mari on the Wrestling Wrap Up. I don't know if we have the card for 90 Day Fiance, but Mari was great with Puya on the 90 Day Fiance Wrap Up this week. I listened to that this morning.
Mari's a national treasure.
Mm-hmm.
She is. Yeah. She is. She's our fave. She's the reason I exist and I'm here on the Wrestling Wrap Up. But also, you know, we had Mari. We had a bunch of fun people, including Puya, this season. So come check us out. We might even have someone who's on this podcast as a guest in a week or so. Who knows? We don't announce guests beforehand. But
wow. Okay. Hey, what's going on over at Love Island? It was Casa Amore this week. Kirsten, could you give us a tease of what you and Scally are talking about over on the Love Island wrap up?
So on this past episode of Love Island, we talked about the most disgusting kiss that has ever been on TV ever. So trigger warning for that. I don't know why Cash did it that way, but it was really fun. And we are going to have Jacob Jones joining us tomorrow night to wrap up the second half of the week. So should be spicy.
Okay. All right. And then what else we got? Maybe the thing is stuck. I mean, so many good podcasts.
You can just leave the Love Island one up. It's fine.
Okay. Speaking of Jacob Jones, he was with Jenny and Puya over on Netflix's Sexy Beasts. Taryn, have you checked out Sexy Beasts yet?
You know, it's obviously right up my alley, but unfortunately, I have not had time to check out Sexy Beasts.
Oh my gosh. And, I had no clue. I had no clue that that's what the show was based on the thumbnail.
People keep asking me if I will be watching it or guesting on it. And no, for my mental health, I will not be doing that. Please stop asking.
Sexy Beasts. People wear prosthetic costumes and go on dates.
Wow. I think my biggest question is how sexy are the beasts?
What you just saw.
Well, I need commentary. That's what the whole podcast is for. I need to know.
Yeah,
the podcast is very fun.
That's what podcasts are for.
I'm assuming that they will be talking about how sexy the beasts are.
They really get into the logistics of how the prosthetics prevent the contestants from being able to like kiss or have drinks or anything like that. There was a beaver and it was very troubling what he had to do at one point. So definitely check out the pod.
Family podcast. All right. Of course, you can check out everything we have going on. Jam-packed patron podcast feed. We had The Slop earlier this week on Monday. Jason Reed joined me. We did not one, but two Survivor patron feedback shows this week. We've got the BB Q&A and plus a patron cast as well. That was just this week in the patron podcast feed. We've got a ton of stuff going on right now. Check it all out. Robinswebsite.com/patron plus access to our Facebook groups, patron Discord, and more. Of course, check out any offers from our sponsors at robinswebsite.com/offers. And then, of course, follow us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button and hit that bell to be notified whenever we have a live show going, whether it's after the episode or in the mornings with Taryn. You'll be notified as soon as we go live. And of course, follow us on social at Rob is a Podcast, where we're always sharing clips from the episodes on Twitter and on Instagram at RHAP. Grams. All right. Fun show tonight. Kirsten, what is coming up for you?
Yes. So if people want to follow me, they can follow me on every platform at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Of course, the Love Islander Hap Up is going strong. But a new show has risen today. HBO Max dropped the first 3 episodes of F-Boy Island. And this weekend, Jenny Autumn and yes. I will be getting together to talk about it.
This is a fun new game. Taryn, do you know what F-Boy Island is?
I can imagine what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And what would you imagine it to be?
Derek, it's F-Boy Island.
It's an island. It's an sadly, island full of...
sadly a vote.
It's an island full of Brents as they vie for the attention and affection of Hannah's.
Mm.
I mean, kind of. So the premise of F-Boy Island, for anyone wondering, there are 3 women and there are 24 men. 12 of the men are self-proclaimed good guys who are there for love. 12 of the men are F-boys who are there for money because there's, I think, $100,000 cash prize. The women need to determine who is an F-boy and who is a nice guy and eliminate the F-boys.
I'd but like to I solve the watched... puzzle. It's all of them.
Yeah. I have not watched one single F-boys. Second. They are all F-boys.
The whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrifying. Great. Mm-hmm. Nikki Glaser's hosting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, Kirsten, thanks for being here
today.
Yes. What else?
Also, I have a BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast called BoJack Horse Pod with Lindsay Wilson. Please also check that out.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm done.
All right. Matt, we know the wrestling wrap up. What else is going on?
You know what? The wrestling wrap up's what's going on. And I think like for anyone who hasn't listened, it's just a fun place to hear all of your RHAP faves, except for Rob and Taryn and Kirsten so far.
I've been on.
You have been on. So people could go back. But I mean, season 2, we're in season 2 right mm-hmm. now.
You're old news, Rob.
I'm old
You're
news. Old news, well, Rob. This was known.
I'm just trying to get on your bad side like Kirsten and Taryn did during this podcast too. But yeah, it's
Wait,
a lot
what did
of fun.
I do?
You did something.
The
bus
can't drive over any more bodies.
She said that a 6-hour podcast is against her religion.
But
that was on Twitter.
Like you can't.
That was on Twitter, and she didn't even tag me. The algorithm had to show it to me.
Well, I just assumed that you have me muted and that you would never see it, and now I'm very troubled.
No, enough people liked it that the algorithm showed it to me.
Well,
listen on 2X.
Voice of the people. Okay,
that's all you need to do, Kirsten.
And yeah, I listen to everything on 2X.
Don't hurt Rob's feelings.
Do you know what that's like when the algorithm shows you subtweets people say about you?
At the top of
your podcast for 6 hours?
I'm friends with Chappelle. I know what it's like when you find subtweets about yourself.
Good to know. And next time I won't like that tweet. But if you want to see tweets from someone who's not subtweeting you, at Matt Scott GW on Twitter, I'll leave you alone.
Thank you, Matt. Okay. Matt, great job tonight. Always fun to have you back with us.
Always fun to have you, Rob.
Yes. Okay. And then Taryn.
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can go and listen to my rant about overplaying, as well as see my adorable cat and watch me be mad at Derek F. as we watched the episode earlier today. I'll, of course, I also streamed about the Stock Watch and plenty of other stuff. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, and you can find me doing podcasts every morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that's going on these Big Brother 23 feeds.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Going to be a busy Friday talking BB23. Hope to see you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.